All right, so welcome to part two of catching Big Snook from the Jetties. This is your captain speaking from Big Fish Radio, Captain Barry. And I have got Alex B. Fishin', and Robert, the manager at Fish and Frank's. And for this part two, as a recap, we left off on, we summed up what jetties are, what tackle to use for artificials, and what our favorite artificial baits were. Now we're going to be using the same tackle, but rigging our terminal tackle different for live and natural baits. Isn't that right, Robert?
Yes, exactly.
Remind me what the tackle was, because it was just a bunch of words that I'm not really familiar with yet.
All right. You want to sum that up, Robert?
Essentially, it was an 8-foot heavy action spinning rod for the most part, which conventional still will work if you feel comfortable casting those. And 50-pound braided line or 65-pound braided line, either one, with a 60 or 80-pound leader involved.
Right, whether it be fluorocarbon or mono. And I just wanted to put a disclaimer out there. There are so many different ways to catch big snook.
Did you tell me what size reel?
Like a 6,000 size or better.
Okay.
Yeah, about 6,000. I was going to say there's many different multiple ways to catch big snook, and it's not just snook, but just fish in general. I'm going to tell you what my experience, what works for me, and that's probably going to be different from what Robert's experience is, and same with you, Alex. And so there's not one right way to do it, but we're just talking from our experience, and we hope you can help you guys catch a big snook of a lifetime.
Or any big fish, for that matter, because it's still all that same rule still applies with all fish.
It's true. Exactly. So when it comes to natural bait, you want to talk about live or dead first, Robert?
Yes.
Yes. Let's start with live.
Yeah, they're alive first.
Let's start with live. So to me, top baits at a jetty, I know on the East Coast this is very popular, like a croaker or like a sandbrim or a mojarra. Those are like two very popular baits on the East Coast. Over here, I like to use, if I can, my number one bait is either a sandbrim or a ladyfish. And I know maybe a secondary option is a mullet. How about you, Robert? What are your like big snook baits that you would like to use from a jetty?
I'm honestly going to go with either a ladyfish or a mullet.
Okay.
That will absolutely be my two choices, just because a sandbrim for me is a little bit harder to get a hold of and find.
Gotcha.
You know, and croakers, we really don't have much of a population of croakers over on this coast the way they do on the other coast.
Yeah. I feel like a snook would have an easier chance swallowing a longer, thin fish rather than a sandbrim.
Right, no, it's...
They manage to swallow them all pretty well.
You won't believe this.
I've watched them be caught on 6.5-inch point-to-point blue crabs.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those big 40-inchers, I haven't seen it in person, but you've seen them just suck down a huge crab just like that?
I watched a guy poach one night on about a 6.5 or 7-inch blue crab.
What?
This was 20 years ago or better.
I have not caught a 40-inch snook or better on a big blue crab yet.
How often have you thrown one out there, though?
Rarely, ever.
Exactly. The 20 years ago, you could keep a snook over 36 inches, but this was completely out of season, so that's why I'm saying poached.
Ah, jeez. You know? That's unfortunate.
But it looked like the guy was fishing for black drum because he was using a giant, like a 4-aught senator on a stump puller. And put down the blue crab and pulled up. It was a 40-plus inch snook, and he grabbed it, grabbed his rod, and beat feet off the pier.
Oh, man.
So it happens, but big snook will eat pretty much just about anything they can get in their mouth that they think they can swallow.
Right. So for these jetties, in my preference, because you have such high-moving water and current, and these big snook, if you look at the anatomy of a snook, as we discussed before, they're streamlined. They have like a pointed nose. And if you like look at a snook, and like its belly is like completely flat. It's meant to like sit on the bottom in high currents, especially those big 40-inch bruisers. They have a big hump on their head, and their belly is just flat. So I want to present my live and natural bait, or live and dead bait, on the bottom. And my favorite way to do it is just because it's much more compact than throwing like a Carolina rig, I like to throw a knocker rig.
is what?
A knocker rig is when you have a little like egg weight above your hook on a leader that can slide up and down freely. So when you hook your bait, the sinker will be on the top of the hook, and when you cast it, it will go all the way to the bottom, and that allows your bait to go straight to the bottom, but the bait can swim away from that egg sinker. It has the freedom to swim until it hits that knot, which could be, you know, 3 to 4 feet, depending on how long your leader is.
Oh, interesting.
So that's personally what I like to, the rigging I like to use, and I like to use for big snook because I'm going to release them. I like to use circle hooks. I do not like to use J's.
Right.
I like to let them hit it, turn, come tight with them, and set the hook in that way. What do you like to rig?
You are setting your hook when you're using circle?
When I say set the hook, I'm saying the hook is going to get set when you let them thump it, just let them swim with it for a little bit, you know, a couple seconds, close your bail, and then just start winding tight, and they'll be on there. How about you, Robert? What's your terminal rig for big snook?
Well, what you described was basically your knocker rig was your egg sinker sliding freely up and down on your main leader line itself.
Yes.
And your leader line is usually attached with a line-to-line knot rather than a swivel, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now, in some of those instances, do you not find it to be a little bit difficult getting the sinker to sometimes want to slide over your knot? Or do you ever have that issue?
That's a very good question. It doesn't happen to me often. So I don't really, especially when I'm using like 80-pound leader, that egg sinker won't, like, once it hits
that's a fairly big knot at that point.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. So, and for the weight, for the egg sinker, just to throw this out there, it depends on the current. You can go anywhere from a quarter ounce up to an ounce, to 2 ounces to get your bait down. I try to use the lightest weight possible to get the bait down and keep it in one spot.
Possible scenario, not the best scenario, 15-pound braid to 30-pound leader. What would I do to prevent that sinker from going up over my knot?
You could still use that same knocker rig that he's talking about, but the one thing that you would want to do is put
swivel
your leader or your main line. A swivel would be fine.
Okay.
But sometimes if you're using, say, a 3 or 4 foot leader, it's very hard to cast with that swivel because your swivel's 2 inches from your rod tip, then you got 3 feet of leader and then your bait hanging there. It's very awkward to cast. So a line to line knot would be perfectly fine. So let's say either way, you do the line to line knot to be better. Your line to line knot with 3 feet of leader. Then you would slide on a small plastic bead.
Okay.
And then your sinker, and then your hook. So that way, if your sinker slides up the line, that bead is actually going to stop on your knot and prevent your sinker from sliding all the way up past your line-to-line knot.
Okay.
Versus a swivel would just stop your sinker altogether. So either way is appropriate. It's just a matter of how able you are to cast from the particular location that you happen to be casting from. Now, that being said, another scenario or another
rig
is, which everyone from the Northeast who fishes for any type of surf fishing is familiar with this rig. It's the same concept as a knocker rig, but it's called a fish finder rig.
Uh-huh.
And a fish finder rig essentially is a little tube with a swivel coming off of it in the center of that tube that opens up. So you can actually attach a pyramid sinker to or a bass casting sinker to. Your line slides through that tube, and then you can change your sinkers very easily depending on the current of that area. But yet your line still slides freely up and through that very, very easily.
And to be honest, that's probably a preferred method just because that sleeve or like that like straw or tube that you're referring to is not going to scratch up your line. Kind of like some of these egg weights are not all made the same, and some of them do have jagged edges on the inside that can scrape up your leader as they go up and down your leader material.
Well, and plus, depending on this, the thing is with the fish finder rig that makes it a little bit more appropriate is you can bring 4 or 5 different sizes of leads with you.
Exactly.
So if the current is really cranking,
get out there at slack tide, and then all of a sudden the...
Yep. And the other thing is it depends on the size of your bait. Whether the bait is dead or alive, a quarter-pound mullet is going to move in that current completely different than a one-pound mullet is.
Yeah.
So in order to hold him in a relatively stationary manner, you're going to have to adjust your weights accordingly, and you won't have to cut it off every time and retie. And especially since most of our large snook fishing from shore is done at night, it's much more of a pain in the butt to retie all that stuff in the dark than it is to just simply pop open a swivel on a fish finder rig and swap out the sinker very quick and easy.
That's gold. That's golden information right there. That's way more practical than what I mentioned. So, yeah.
Yeah, they both work very well. That's just another way of the same exact rig two different ways.
Yep.
It's the exact same rig because the exact same purpose is for your anchor / sinker to sit in one spot but allow your bait to slide freely up into the water column or back down towards the bottom, depending on how the current is flowing or if you're moving the rod, because sometimes with a dead bait, you want to be able to move it back and forth just a little bit, so you're rocking your rod tip, putting a little slack in, so your bait pulls with the current and pulls away from that sinker, and then you're pulling them right back, almost mimicking like he's alive. But also it's nice to have that movement to be able to, hey, it looks like I picked up some grass, because there's always a lot of grass / seaweed going through these passes and in these jetty areas. And if it hangs up, a couple blades of grass hangs up on your bait fish, whether he's a live bait or dead bait, you can kind of rock it back and forth and shake that grass off much easier without having to take it out of that strike zone, because you finally got it into what you assume is that perfect spot where those fish are sitting.
Yeah.
After four different tries fighting the current or the wind or boat traffic, you don't want to move it as much, so being able to rock that bait off makes it a little bit easier.
100%. So am I understanding correctly that the difference between a knocker rig and a fish finder rig is just the quick change sleeve?
Yep.
Okay, so it too will sit down right on top of the hook.
Absolutely.
And that's slides not right too bulky and distracting, no, or is your live bait going to get
it
far enough away from that?
Awesome question.
You think you have a very good, like, you think logically about these things. You have a bright fishing future ahead of you, Alex, for just starting in April. Those are great questions.
Keep going, Captain.
Yeah. Wow, her head's going to get too big to walk out the door here in a minute.
She might not be able to make it out of the studio today.
I thought her hair was big.
It's a good thing she took out the curls, right?
But no, the awesome part about that is absolutely you're right, but at the same time, it's no difference than, say, a 2 to 4 ounce jig head in front of a natural bait or an artificial. You know, they see they're usually focused in more on that. But yes, in some instances, having your bait away from that gear, especially if I'm fishing in more lit up scenarios, that's where I would probably be more apt to use a Carolina rig or a three-way swivel, having my leader hanging back 2 to 4 feet away from any of my sinker.
Would you ever free line a bait in a jetty, on a jetty?
I would, but it would only mostly be during slack tide when the current is extremely moving slow, because those larger fish are either going to be, A, most of the time sitting out on that sandy washboard bottom in some of those little slower current spots.
Okay.
Or they're going to be right up against the rocks more on the bottom. Mm-hmm. Very rarely have I had any personal experience with them hitting them up higher in the water column, you know, and with those big baits, when you're dealing with a large snook, they want, and it doesn't matter if it's a live bait or a dead bait, if you're in pre-spawn conditions with some of these snook, what'll happen a lot of times is they actually will grab a bait to move it away from them because it's annoying them. They're not necessarily there to eat it, but they'll crush it. And they'll grab it, they'll crush it, even though it's dead, they perceive it to be alive. They'll pick it up and sometimes move forward into the water current and spit it out, or they'll move laterally and just move it out of their way.
Wow.
So there's always a little bit of different scenarios with that, but being high up in the water column, very rarely have I seen that happen where they come up and chase a bait to the surface. I mean, you can be out there at 4 o'clock in the morning, glass calm with a nice strong ripping tide. You'll very rarely hear those big snook popping up against their jetties or out in the middle of the channel.
Yeah, and so what would you say, Robert, because we're talking about catching these big snook, what's going to be the most optimal time of the year to target these, you know, 36 and...
Can we go back snook? To bait for a second?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I haven't started cast netting. I'm good at cast netting on land. I haven't attempted water because I'm afraid of getting in the water, so I'm not going to have... I mean, I guess I could throw a jig head for a ladyfish, but say I don't have a live mullet, say I don't have a live ladyfish, but it's very easy to get my hands on pinfish. What's the best way for me to put one out there? Am I cutting off the fins?
On a pinfish?
Yeah.
Well, on a pinfish or a sand brim, because they're more...
They have the same body structure.
They have the same body structure as, say, a bluegill. They're more of a panfish-style bait fish. Depending on the scenario, I guess, absolutely, you could trim the tail fin a little bit to slow him down with his movement. But in most instances, you've got a big enough sinker on there and a little bit of a short enough leader, because you're very seldom using more than about a 3-foot leader. That's usually going to be more than adequate enough for those fish to grab them and chase them down.
Right.
If they really want it, they're going to grab it. You know, if you just had it free line and it's skipping across the surface like a ladyfish would, or a mullet might actually run 30, 40 yards skipping across the surface to get away from the bait or from the fish, that's a different scenario. But because you've got it pegged down a little bit, he's only going to be able to move a couple feet one way or the other, and he'll probably grab a hold of it and wreck it.
And I would hook it. Alex would, like, if it's a pinfish, maybe like 4 or 5 inches, like you want a big one, I would hook it to be streamlined. I would want it to put it like through the nostrils.
Okay.
Or, I mean, this is not the best way, but you can also go from the chin up through like the nose also.
Okay.
You can go from the bottom lip up to the top lip and hook them that way as well.
Robert?
Yeah, you just never want to hook them sideways. You don't want to hook them through the dorsal fin or through the anal fin.
That's how I've been hooking them sideways through the tail.
Well, the problem is when you do that is that you're casting out, your bait's going to naturally drag downstream, and then that bait's going to get pulled out downstream. So by having that hook in his tail, it's going to face him going with the current, but he's sitting stationary, so you're pulling the water over his gills backwards.
Yep.
So you're essentially drowning him.
Yeah.
And then if you hook him through the dorsal fin or just straight through the belly, he'll actually lay out there sideways.
Yeah. You know, not natural whatsoever.
Not looking in any way, shape, or form natural.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to dead bait. Sorry, Barry,
the pinfish would
cut
be
you
dead
off
at that point.
No, it's all good.
Ba-dum-bum. Good transition.
I was just going to say, there's certain times of the year I feel like are peak times to fish these jetties. And
especially if you want the big ones.
Exactly. So, Robert, what would you say? May and June?
May, for getting them at their optimal weight.
Yeah.
Absolutely, May and June.
Okay.
Get them before they head out to the beaches to spawn.
Before they spawn, because they'll actually spawn right there in those passes too. At times,
they don't necessarily. And that strong of current,
they'll wait for the slack tide. They do it on the moon, just as that moon starts to transition that tide, because there's always a slack point when it's coming in or going out. So it's on the full moon. They'll always spawn usually right as that tide goes slack, because they don't build nests. Almost no. Very few saltwater species of fish build nests. So what they do is they rely on a slower current moment, whether it be with the tide or some kind of structure to block it a little bit. The female will start to lay the eggs, and the males will swim by and milk at the same time as those eggs are coming out to fertilize them. And then they rely on that strong current to float those eggs up into the water column, where they can be oxygenated and well-maintained and grow up.
Right. And Alex, I was just going to ask you, Alex, how much time we got? About 4 minutes left?
Yep.
I feel like one thing we really need to cover is how to land these big snook and how to respect them and release them as healthy as possible, because those are the future of all the next population and generations of snook to come. Number one, I would highly recommend having something called a pier net. which is basically like a big dip net. You can put in the water and slide the snook into and lift them up. If the jetty is really high, like if it's a lower tide, mm-hmm. you can lift them up that way, and it's going to cradle their body weight. And when you go to release them, you can also put them back in that net and slowly lower them back into the water that way. That's number one. One big way to handle these big snook is how to remove them from the water.
Right. Basically, you know, the two most realistic ways to do it for the safety of the fish is one with some type of net, uh-huh. a landing net of some kind. That way you're cradling that whole fish's body weight, yes. is most importantly. But also the best scenario is with that net is that the net is getting wet. So that way when you bring them up onto those dry rocks, you're not removing that slime coat off of them. That net is wet, providing ample coverage against the rocks that are dry, or in some instances hot and dry.
Right.
And then you can get the hook out of that fish and then put them back in the water. Or the other scenario is pretty much climbing down the rocks, being as careful as possible, mm-hmm. grabbing that fish by the lower jaw, holding on, you know, with like a lip gripper of some kind to hold on to that lower jaw, leaving him in the water, removing the hook, facing him into the current or her, whichever, and letting her resuscitate, and then just simply letting her swim off on her own. If you want to get a good photograph with that fish,
what's the best way to handle those fish when you want to get a good picture?
Yeah, so for the landing net purpose or down by the rocks because you don't have the landing net, is to grab it by its lower jaw, but then slide your hand down the length of the body of that fish, uh-huh. and cradle that whole fish like basically you're holding a child. You want to be cradling that fish like it's an infant. But
not up against your body.
Not necessarily up against the body unless you went in the water and got totally wet, because right. you don't want to remove that slime.
Uh-huh.
Holding them like that, but keeping that fish horizontal yep. with pressure of your arm cradling the belly all the way down to the tail, getting your photograph that way, and then going down to the water the same way, still cradling that fish and setting that fish into the water horizontal rather than vertical, because if you lift that fish up vertical, snook have this membrane between right basically dead center of their jaw. They're a vacuum feeder. They swim up to a bait and they open up their mouth and inhale quickly, and water goes out of their gills, but the bait fish gets sucked into their mouth and they crush it. To do that, they've got these really bizarre tendons in their mouth that is a little weaker than a largemouth bass or other fish. And if you grab them by that lower jaw and hold them by their body weight, you can actually pop that tendon inside there and reduce or eliminate his possibility of vacuum feeding at that point, and he could starve to death.
Oh, that's so sad. Yeah, so we just definitely want to make sure we catch these big fish, enjoy them, and at the same time protect them and make sure they swim off healthy to continue spawning and produce more generations of their species.
Yeah. Yeah, in the summertime, you know, obviously with your largest of your species, you're fishing for them during the time when they are most viable with eggs and getting ready to go out there. So it's one of those things, we're doing it for fun, so take advantage of that and do it as much as possible, but take care of the resource at the same time.
All right, well, that wraps up another episode of Catching Big Snook and Big Fish Radio, and I'm Captain Barry. You can find me on tarponworld.com and follow me. I'd love to share my experiences with you, and I hope you guys found this helpful.
And Alex, see proof that he knows what he's doing.
Alex, where can they find you?
Facebook, Alexandra B'Fishin, F-I-S-H-I-N.
All right, and Robert does not have social media, so follow him in person at the shop. You can come see him at Fishing Frames.
You'll usually see me following him around.
Or that too, yeah. We'll see you on the next episode.
Prosperity.